Welcome to the Love Letters to Poe podcast. I'm Sarah Crokel Smith, publisher and editor-in-chief, bringing you wonder and terror, romance and horror in this gothic fiction magazine. Each week, I'll be sharing a new gothic story or poem from the pages of Love Letters to Poe. You can find the original stories and poems, author interviews, your free copy of the magazine's inaugural issue, and much more at loveletterstopoe.com. Today's gothic story is titled Thief of Eternal Delights, read by the author Renee Cronley. This story can be found in Volume 1, Issue 1 of Love Letters to Poe. I hope you enjoy this haunting tale.
Thief of Eternal Delights by Renee Cronley. The hour is late, and the walls within the castle rise out of the darkness like black curtains hiding sinister secrets. Merry music coming from the great hall pours into my ears. The king is entertaining the lords and ladies of his court with dancing, troubadours, and wine. The jubilant noises grow faint as I approach, until dissipating into silence as I peek inside to find it empty. I blink, then refocus my eyes on the desolate room. But the joy I heard a moment ago never manifests into the life it promised. I shrug my shoulders, blaming it on the whiskey. I take a swig from my flask before stumbling through the castle, looking for something valuable to slip into the pockets of my waistcoat. The stakes are high when stealing from a king, but it makes the thrill that much more intense when the consequences are fatal. It makes my heart beat fast, and I feel alive, because when the thrill wears off, I feel empty again, dead inside. Perhaps tonight I'll find what I'm looking for. I stagger into a large, empty room lit with ornate candelabras. Distant whispers echo throughout the room as I stand frozen in the center. Grotesque shadows spring from the walls and dance around me, threatening to touch me. The scent of decay invades my nostrils, conjuring images of corpses rotting in the dark. There are too many voices, growing louder and louder. They threaten my sanity. I cover my ears and shut my eyes to block the sensory chaos before I go mad. After a few moments of suspected silence, I remove my hands from my ears and peek through half-closed eyelids. A blurred silhouette of a skull manifests on the wall, then floats towards me. Instead of running, I unsheath my dagger and throw it at the apparition. Both the skull and wall vanish, and in its place, a stone archway introduces a long corridor. The whiskey must be taking its toll on me. I shrug and reach for my flask, taking a large gulp. The same irresistible impulse that brought me to the castle takes me down the corridor. It's lit with flaming torches, and a large stained glass window with blue, purple, green, orange, white, and violet panes marks the end. Portraits of wealthy nobles flanked by knights' armor stretch across the length of the passage. An icy chill nips my ear and takes me by surprise. I stumble into the metal plates of the suit of armor closest to me, and the clanging echoes loudly. Heart in my throat, my eyes dart to the entrance to see if the noise alerted anyone to investigate, but there's no one, and nothing there but a solid wall. Fear paralyzes and shackles me to the floor. This castle is a cage, and I, its rat. I'm used to steady nerves to match my hands, but they now tremble as I drink my flask dry. Another cold nip at my ear, and a feminine whisper startles me into dropping my flask. I spin around. There's nobody there. A portrait of a noble woman guarded by knight's armor steals my attention. Her beauty takes me aback, and I forget my fear under her gaze. It is a painting for my eyes alone, hung on the wall for some time, dusty and unloved, waiting for me. With the face of an angel and a sweet, bewitching countenance, she wears a slight smile hinting that she knows something I don't. I can't help but smile back at her. The hairs on my neck rise to attention, directing me to the stained glass window. A woman in a long black dress stands in front of it, a rich rainbow shimmering around her like a halo. I recognize her immediately. How could I not? She has the face of an angel, my angel. Quiet whispers lace the air like a sweet perfume trying to mask another scent. It's sobering, yet I'm dizzy as I walk towards it. I need to profess my love to her, but the words come out low and slurred. She holds her finger to her lips to silence me. My words aren't necessary. She already knows. That small, secretive smile plays with the corners of my angel's mouth. Behind that smile is a secret to my eternal happiness. She stole my heart like a thief in the night prowling the castle. Her eyes never leave mine. They are pale enough to reflect the flaming torches on the wall. The pane of glass behind her turns crimson, although I hardly notice. Goosebumps envelop my skin because she has that effect on me. That, and I seem to get colder the closer I get to her. I need her to warm me. These ideas would have seemed strange to me only minutes ago, but seeing her portrait planted a seed within me that sprouted deep roots and are now cascading out of control. The closer I get to her, the further behind I leave myself. But the distance between us is enough to pull my soul from my chest and render me breathless. I need to reach her. With my eyes on my beloved, I can almost ignore the sharp, shooting pains threatening to bring me to my knees as I close the gap between us. Ominous whispers saturate the corridor, but evade me, and I am glad for it. They seem to have so much to say, like they've been waiting centuries for ears to hear their pleas. But I know that if I listen to their words, I'll beg to be deaf. They are tortured whispers of the ages, trapped in a part of the castle built of blood and bone. The stained glass window fades to black and is replaced by wooden double doors on hinges that curl decoratively on the door like claws inviting me in. I can hear an orchestra playing behind them. The sound of a flute swims throughout the corridor and soothes my soul to sleep with its sweet vibrations. In the glow of the torchlight, I can see that my angel's cheek has a scarlet stain. Her cryptic smile returns when she catches me noticing. The music gets louder and louder. The ticking of a clock booms from behind the door, its pendulum swinging with a dull and heavy, monotonous clang. My angel dons a black and red masquerade mask, then offers me her hand. I take it, bringing her cool and clammy hand to my lips for a kiss. I can feel the stickiness, not from her skin, but from mine. I don't have to look to know that blood is weeping from my pores, but a small price to pay for her caress. Come, my love, the hour is almost stricken. Her voice is dry and throaty, like she hasn't spoken in ages. It makes me delirious with pleasure. As the double doors open, my soul finally stops the search it has been on for some time. For what it couldn't find in life, it found in death. The stakes are highest in love. The clock chime reverberates throughout my sepulcher as the music overwhelms the rhythm of my soul and disrupts the rise and fall of my chest. My angel of death may have plundered my soul, yet it is I who have stolen the pleasure to dance with her into eternity.
If you enjoyed this work of fiction, please show your love by leaving a review. Never miss another story or poem by visiting loveletterstopoe.com/join. And if you want the party to continue, I invite you to Prince Prospero's Masquerade over at patreon.com/loveletterstopoe. Until next time, embrace what lurks in the shadows. You never know what gothic adventure lay within.